Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. My name is Frank Weltner, and I would like to welcome you to the world today. The date today is January the 3rd, 2011. And in the news today, I would like to read from Steve Watson at Infowars.com, his fantastic report on the TSA, which once again reverted to lies in an attempt to protect its new security theater, which is kind of a show program of control measures. The TSA claims that recent reports of a 70% security failure rate is no longer accurate. Just over a fortnight ago, the TSA agents are now so busy groping and irradiating airline passengers that they are routinely missing the presence of bombs and guns in both tests and live situations. After ABC News covered the story of an Iranian-American businessman expressing his disbelief at being allowed onto a flight with a loaded handgun, it was widely reported in the media that such TSA failures were commonplace. It was noted that screeners detect less than 30% of the knives and guns that officials try to sneak through security and tests. Failures to detect explosive material and bomb parts were also disturbingly high, according to the reports. This underscores how the newly enhanced and invasive TSA security procedures are pure theater and actually do nothing to make anyone safer. Indeed, it may be argued that the procedures are putting flyers in more danger, as screeners are spending more time groping people and ordering them through X-ray body scanners, then checking for potentially dangerous items in their hand luggage. In a belated response, the now infamous TSA blogger named Bob, who previously claimed that despite thousands of complaints from passengers, there was no fondling, squeezing, groping, or any sort of sexual assault taking place at airports, says that the security failure rate figures widely covered by the media are no longer relevant. The TSA blog describes the security failure reports as misleading and outdated, claiming that the figures cited were taken from tests carried out 4 or 5 years ago. But this is not true. The ABC News report Gulliver linked to last month didn't rely on those dates. It referenced a person briefed on the latest tests who said they have a failure rate of 70%. In addition, TSA head John Pestole made the following comments less than a month ago during an interview on Good Morning America, where he said, "Unfortunately, undercover testers have been very successful over the years, and one of the findings is that we have not been thorough enough. And the concern, obviously, is that if that's an Abdul Mulatab, a Christmas Day bomber, who is doing it rather than an undercover agent, then that can have a catastrophic effect." Of course, very few people actually know what the current rate of TSA security failures are, because the Department of Homeland Security has classified the results of the most recent random covert red team tests, where undercover agents try to see what they can get past airport security. The reason they have done so is presumably because the results have been so shockingly and consistently bad for the past 9 years. If the figures had improved significantly, then you can rest assured that the TSA would be forcing them down our throats as justification for enhanced airport tyranny, rather than declaring them top secret and locking them away from public view. As the Economist Gulliver blog states, the agency can't have it both ways. If TSA officials are going to imply that the situation has improved since the last Inspector General, and GAO reports were leaked to the press, they should prove it. However, it seems the agency would rather send out an anonymous blogger named Bob to attack anyone who points out the absurdly obvious where the TSA's security theatrics are concerned. Once again, this shows that the TSA and Homeland Security are willingly resorting to outright lies in a pathetic attempt to bolster their ailing control agenda. Those making official statements on behalf of the legions of strip-search goon squads clearly have little regard for the safety of Americans. This report was presented by Steve Watson, who is the London-based writer and editor at AlexJonesInfoWars.net and a regular contributor to PrisonPlanet.com. Mr. Watson has a master's degree in international relations from the School of Politics at the University of Nottingham in England. And so there we have it, another splendid report on our not-so-splendid Homeland Security Agency. This agency has consistently presented itself as being above board and being able to improve year after year on what assets it has, and in terms of being able to stop contraband from entering airplanes at these airports. But what it's really done is to beleaguer the passengers, to force them into situations where they must choose either invasion of privacy of a sexual nature, or being arrested or sent home without being able to fly on an airplane. This is something that America's never had to face before. We didn't face it in World War I. We didn't face it in World War II. We didn't face it in the Civil War. And we didn't face it in the Revolutionary War. But now, all of a sudden, because two buildings were destroyed in New York 10 years ago, in the middle of everybody watching it, now we have to do this because, well, Homeland Security says that we must. This incompetent woman that works there, Miss Politano, I mean, she is just incredible. Look at her eyes. She looks crazy as can be. This woman is, I don't know. I don't know how she was put in this position at all. She's got that crazy Janet Reno look about her. But I think she looks even crazier than Janet Reno. And look what Janet Reno did. This woman has never seen an intrusion into the privacy of Americans that she didn't like. I sometimes wonder if she isn't maybe a little frustrated herself along certain lines that have to do with reaching into people's garments. Does she have a problem? Is that one of the reasons that these things are done like this? Is she somehow... Well, you know. Does she have a thing about this? Take a look at her face. She looks crazy. I just can't imagine that the president would want to keep her on after the mess that she's made of TSA. And she's a yes girl. Whatever the president wants, she'll say yes, 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 just like Janet Reno did. And she yet said yes to the point, Miss Reno did it, to the point of killing children at Waco. What might Napolitano do? Might she do something that would harm Americans? I wouldn't put it past anybody in this administration to do things that would harm Americans, because all they've done is to harm the people of this country, to enforce another war out in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, when we were trying to bring our troops home, and to go in there and waste billions and billions of dollars in that worthless country, which we have no business being there. That's somebody else's country. It's not ours. Why are we there? This is ridiculous. We voted for a new president and to have an end to wars, and we just have nothing but war still. And the American people are sick and tired of this, and we're sick and tired of these monsters who run TSA and other of these goon squad organizations of interfering with us and groping us, telling us we have to stand in front of dangerous detectors which have radiation that can cause leukemia and cancers of many sorts because they're so so powerfully radioactive. Now, these people are, well, they're not the type of people that I would hire, let me put it that way, and I don't think you would hire that type of person either, and you have to ask yourself, where is the president coming from? Is he as bad as Napolitano? He appointed her, so he must like what she's doing. And if he likes what she's doing, then he himself, well, his own efficacy is being tested by this appointment. I think that I don't think he has done himself any good whatsoever with this. The latest posting today of the national debt shows that it has topped $14 trillion for the first time. The U.S. Treasury website today reported that as of last Friday, the last day of 2010, the national debt stood at over $14 trillion. It took just 7 months for the national debt to increase from $13 trillion on June 1, 2010, to $14 trillion on December 31st. This means that the debt is fast approaching the statutory ceiling of $14.294 trillion, set by Congress and signed into law by President Obama last February. The federal government would have to stop borrowing and might even default on its obligations if Congress fails to increase the debt ceiling before the limit is reached. Some Republicans in the new Congress have said they'll seek to block an increase in the debt ceiling unless a plan is in place to significantly reduce federal spending and unfunded government liabilities on entitlement programs such as Social Security and Medicare. White House economic advisor Austin Goolsbee warned yesterday that it would be catastrophic if the U.S. government were to default on its financial obligations. That would be the first default in history caused purely by insanity, said Goolsbee, of plans to block an increase in the debt ceiling. So what do you think of that? What do you think of that? It would be catastrophic and it would be insanity for the United States to miss payment on its debt. Well, I think it's insanity for the United States to have a $14 trillion debt to begin with. What are we talking about here? We spent $3 or $4 trillion in TARPs for the bankers who destroyed the economy by gambling on such commodities as petroleum and on housing stocks. And they made some very unwise decisions. They allowed people to purchase houses who didn't have the finances to withstand the vagaries of the interest rate. So that they began to miss their payments one after the other until a crisis suddenly ensued. And so they came to Congress and demanded that the Congress give them a trillion here, a trillion there, and a trillion here, and a trillion there again, again and again and again. We told them not to do it. We called our congressman. We said, we don't want any part of this. We should have let these banks fail. We shouldn't have propped them up. Any business that fails should be allowed to fail. It should be allowed to go broke, and the investors should lose their money. Taxpayers should not be required to pay for mistakes made by bankers or by large corporations. No one pays for your investments when you lose on them, and they don't pay for mine. And I don't want to pay for these other people's investments. They should know from the very beginning that whatever they do, if they lose, they're out of business, they're out of their house, their stocks are going down to zero, and and they're simply going to be out in the street like everybody else that loses in business. And it doesn't matter if their business is in banking or whatever. And how could they lose in banking? Good Lord, they're able to get money for free from the Federal Reserve, and then to roll it over and counterfeit it anywhere from 9 to 30 times, and then loan it out to you for anywhere from 5 to 25%. And if you're the least bit late on your payment, up till now they've been gigging you for $35. Because these are vicious mafia thugs that run these banks. These are the Judeo-Bolsheviks that ran the Soviet Union in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, and who consistently murdered people who couldn't make their payments on their homes, murdered people who stood up and protested how the Jews ran the Soviet Union. These goons are now running the United States from New York. They own the banks. They meet every day in Brighton Beach, just north of New York, up by Far Rockaway, speaking in Russian and laughing about how they destroyed the Soviet Union. And now they're just laughing about how they're destroying the United States because we're just stupid enough, like the Soviet Union was, to allow these Zionists to do this to us. And I am sick and tired of it, and I'm alerting America to the horror of what's going on and what the final outcome may be. When these goons ran the Soviet Union, they didn't think twice about killing people. They killed millions and millions of Russians. Well, they didn't care if they died or not. They didn't consider them human beings, really. They considered them to be cattle. Trash that was far below human. They called them goyim, which meant cattle. And they considered them to be like a sheep or a cow or a bull or a horse. They weren't human beings at all because they weren't Jewish. These Jews are extremely racist when it concerns other human beings in this world. And if you'll read their writings, their Old Testament, and their other collateral writings, you'll see that they consider Christians to be total idiots who should be exploited and used, and they should be charged interest. But Jews themselves should never be charged interest by another Jew. This is a part of their uncommon racism. Racism that they don't want you to know about, which is why they own all of the newspapers, all the TV stations, all of the movie houses, where they have suddenly decided that they're going to go against the Muslims. The Muslims are terrible people. Well, it's kind of nice that they're going after Muslims in a sort of a way, because they used to go after the Catholics, the Baptists, and all of the other Christians. They hate Christians. They can't stand them. In fact, a couple of years ago, the Judeo-Bolsheviks were making open statements in the press that places like Walmart should never say Merry Christmas to their customers, that this was offensive to other people. As though, because of our tolerance in this country of Jewish people, and of Arab people, and of Hindu people, that our own way of life would have to be changed so that these other people wouldn't be so insulted. Well, I can tell you this. If somebody comes to my country, they're going to do what my country wants to do. They're not going to come here and tell us how we're going to operate our country. They're going to come here knowing full well this is a Christian country, that we celebrate Christmas, and they're going to respect Christmas, or they're going to get their butts out of here. I'll show them the airport and say, get out of here. We tolerated you, and by God, you'll either tolerate me and tolerate the rest of us, or you're going to leave. We are not going to put up with any kind of racism from Muslims, from Jews, or from anybody else. And this is just pure racism. We in America always believe in freedom of religion. We would never think of telling Jewish people they couldn't go to a synagogue. We would never think of telling Jewish people that they can't celebrate Hanukkah, or they can't celebrate Yom Kippur, or they can't take off from schools or businesses for these holy days. We've always allowed them to do that. And here they came 2 or 3 years ago saying that we could not say Merry Christmas to each other in a public place because this would be offensive to Jews. Well, I could say the same thing. I could say, you can't take off for Yom Kippur. This is offensive to the Christian people in the schools where you suddenly leave because you think you're better than the rest of these kids, and you get to take off for a holy day, but our kids don't necessarily get to. We have a lot of holy days that we're not able to take off for, like St. Crispin's Day, and 50 or 60 other days, but you take yours off. And now you're telling us that we can't even say Merry Christmas to each other because it might offend you and your Jewishness. Well, listen, Buster, if you want to live in a Christian country like America, you will, by God, respect us, or you will get your rear end out of here. We are not going to put up with this from you. And we're not going to put up with these banking shenanigans either. You Judeo-Bolsheviks are dangerous people. Look what you did to the Soviet Union. You murdered 65 million people there in a 20-year period. And then you got the whole world embroiled in World War II because Germany and the other countries of Europe were terrified you were going to do the same thing to them. Then, after the Soviet Union began to collapse, you came to New York, and you brought your wicked communist ways here, and you sit there at Brighton Beach speaking Russian and laughing at what you did there to kill those people, and how you might do the same thing here. We're sick and tired of you. You know, you are a dangerous element in this country. You are a threat to America's national security. You are a very, very dangerous, satanic Rothschild banking population, and you need to be watched very carefully. If there's a terrorist organization in this country, it happens to be the Jewish people who live here in this country, came here from the Soviet Union after destroying the Christians there and murdering them. And now, I think you're ready to do it to us right here. And I think you will if you get the chance. And you keep getting stronger and stronger, and you keep telling our government to do things that no government should be forced to do, such as to give you trillions of dollars that you lost because you didn't watch what you were doing in your business. We are not responsible for your business failure. You, sir, you are responsible for your business failure. So Paulson and Bernanke, get out of your offices. Get off of this continent. Go to Israel. Go somewhere else. But don't you dare go to the Congress and ask for money for your own personal business failures. That's just not something that we should give you or anybody else. The good news and the bad news is that Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives plan to pass a bill next week to repeal President Barack Obama's overhaul of the U.S. health care system. That's interesting, isn't it? His entire presidency was predicated on this ridiculous health reform law, which wasn't a reform at all. What it did was to give money to insurance companies, to the rich and the powerful who sell insurance. It didn't do anything to change medicine for anybody. The new Congress will convene on Wednesday with Republicans in control of the House after November's midterm elections. The Republicans are set to move ahead with their campaign promise to try to rescind the new health care law, one of Obama's signature legislative victories. Brad Dayspring, a spokesman for incoming House Republican leader Eric Cantor, said the House plans to vote on legislation to repeal the health care law on January 12th. This law will pass the House, Dayspring said. Although Republicans will control the House, 242 to 193, which is a total turnaround, Obama's Democrats retain a tiny control of the Senate. The Democrats lead in the Senate 53 to 47, and they're likely to block any repeal of the health care law. Obamacare is a job killer for businesses, small and large, and the top priority for House Republicans is going to be to cut spending and grow the economy and jobs. Keeping the health care law will retard the return of business because businesses don't want to pay for the health care of all of their workers, especially in a time of depression. Republicans, particularly from the fiscally conservative wing, were emboldened to attack the health care reform after a good showing in November's elections. Among other provisions, the health care reform extends health care insurance to millions of Americans without coverage. But opinion polls show voters are split over it. The reform has become a favorite target for Republicans, who say that it is an excessive reach by the federal government. Even if repeal fails, Republicans will yield considerable sway over the government purse strings and try to use that power to deny the Obama administration's requests on financing to implement the new health care law, a signature achievement. Dayspring said the House will hold a procedural vote on Friday in preparation for the January the 12th law. So how will the Republicans end the health care plan? It's very easy. They're going to starve the U.S. financial reform of cash. There will be no cash passed to reform health care. They're just going to starve the program out. They're not going to pass any money for it. They're just going to wait it out until it collapses, because the Republicans aren't going to give them a dime. First of all, the law was passed over the objections of every Republican in the House and Senate, by Democrats who decided to misuse their huge majorities to stifle everything that the minority representatives wanted. And so they stepped on them, and they stepped on them, they pushed them into the corner, and they almost made fun of them by their impotency to stop the Democrats from doing what they were doing. They lauded it in the press. They shouted it from the rooftops. We're doing what we want. We're having our way with the Republicans. Look what we're doing. Well, most Americans were shocked at this type of behavior. The president had run on the campaign promise that he would work with the Republican Party to create legislation that would benefit both sides. And instead, he pushed them off to the side and began to pass a health care plan that they wanted to have nothing to do with. And so now they're in a position where they have this plan which nobody likes. The Democrats don't like it. The Republicans don't like it. Obama doesn't like it. The only people that like it are the insurance companies, who are getting a free ride for insurance, where everybody has to have insurance. When in fact, if the plan had been passed the right way, the insurance companies would have been written off. The insurance companies are simply an excessive 30% of medical care costs that are not even needed. If the federal government's going to pay for these costs, then why in the world should an insurance company be able to stand between the federal government and the people? We should just simply get whatever we want from our Social Security payments for our Medicare. We shouldn't have to go to 20 or 30 insurance companies and put up with their BS. This is ridiculous. This is simply an attempt by the Democratic Party to get insurance companies to pay money into the Democratic coffers for the rest of their lives, because they made these people into trillionaires by passing this unwise legislation, which is going to not only destroy the country, but it's going to destroy the dollar. There's no way that the dollar bill is going to hold up to this type of an insurance care. I mean, we're not only going to pay for people's medical bills, but we're going to pay for their outlandish insurance bills on top of it, so that the insurance companies will make their 30% on top of whatever the expensive cost of every medical procedure, which goes up every day of the week. And neither the Democrats nor the Republicans were able to do anything to stifle their greed in this situation. And this is just greed, ladies and gentlemen. The Democrats are greedy to get money from the insurance companies, the health insurance companies, and the Republicans are greedy to stop them from doing it, because they would like to get the money from the insurance companies. So now they're going to unfund this, which means that the insurance companies aren't particularly going to like the Republicans for a while, and they may very well decide that they're not going to give money to the Republicans in the next election. Well, the Republicans evidently don't care. They're getting enough money from the financial sector and other segments of that sector that they don't have to worry about it. And they have so many millionaires and businesses who don't want to pay that insurance on top of everything else that they have to pay, and on top of having to compete with China, which doesn't even give people health insurance where they work, that they're probably going to do quite well. The Democrats didn't think this out. And I think it was just abhorrent to watch them. To watch, especially Reid, Harry Reid. What a slob. What an absolute slob. And the people tried to vote him out in his district. And there's been people saying, well, you know, something illicit must have happened there for him to get back in, because the people out there didn't like him at all. Who could like a man who is so chunky in terms of wanting to do things the Democratic way without doing anything that would make a consensus vote on legislation? Why would somebody like that would just run around and try to hurt other parties that might be a party to something that might be good for the country? It's shocking. And the reason they came up with this lousy bill where the insurance companies made all of this money on the bill, which I don't think they're going to make because the Republicans aren't going to give a dime to implement the bill now that they've been left out of the decision-making process. They're going to look at their Democrats, like these stories are saying here, and on the January 12th vote, they're going to vote down any money for this legislation. So the legislation is dead in the water. And the United States is in a constitutional crisis where you have one party voting for a health insurance bill that would give 30% of everybody's medical bill to insurance companies that have nothing to do with medicine. And the other party voting against that. And so you have a constitutional crisis where a bill has been passed which is not going to be funded. So all of these people in the insurance companies who've been planning on starting to get a lot of money in their pocket that they didn't have otherwise, but by paying off the Democrats, they're going to get it now? They're not going to get it because the Republicans aren't going to pay for it. And how could they pay for it? The country is broke. The country is broke. The banks have destroyed our businesses. They've destroyed our currency. They've destroyed just about everything that made America powerful through their own gambling with this money in the banks. These are the greediest people in the world, and I think they should be deported from this country. I'm sick and tired of them. They're the same people that started the Soviet Union. They're turning America into a USSR like they did the Soviet Union, and I'm afraid they're going to come out and get us, take us outside of our cities and put a bullet in the back of our heads the same as they did for 20 years in the Soviet Union, killing one Christian after another. Let me tell you something. It sounds outlandish that I would say that, but what's really outlandish is that they did this in the Soviet Union for 20 years, and now they're here, running our banks, running our government, running our newspapers, monopolizing everything that we read, hear, and see. You don't think that there's a danger there? That history repeats itself? The same people that murdered 65 million people in Russia are now running everything in the United States that you look at on television or in the news, in magazines? They control almost all communications you've ever seen for the past 50 years. And you're not worried about this? These are the very people who gave your atomic secrets to their favorite communist Jewish mafia in the Soviet Union, the Rosenbergs, who gave your Julieth and Ethel Rosenberg, who gave your atomic secrets to the Russians because they were their relatives. They were Jewish Bolsheviks. And these bankers are Jewish Bolsheviks. And many of the Jewish people in the Republican and Democratic Party are Jewish Bolsheviks. They believe in globalism, and that's what the Bolsheviks believed in. They believed in all humanity sharing globalist endeavors together. that businesses should be shared all over the world, that America's businesses should be shipped overseas to China and to Samoa and elsewhere, and that the jobs that we've had all of our lives should be gone from us forever. You're going to put your hope into people like this and hope they're not going to eventually kill you? If they're willing to sap all of your energy away, and if they killed the people of the Soviet Union who weren't Jewish but were Christian because they had no respect for their religion or for them, or for their personages, because they just because they weren't Jewish, and you don't think they would do that to you here in America? You think they would stop here? They had the audacity to do it in Russia, but they won't do it in America? Are you out of your mind? Don't you see the danger that you're putting yourself in by trusting the Judeo-Bolsheviks of Brighton Beach, New York? Your time is running out, America. You can't continue to just lollygag around while your currency is being spent, while your debt is going higher and higher, and no one cares about you. No one. They care about this tiny minority of Judeo-Bolsheviks who run the banks and own the newspapers and the businesses and who run the universities, who run the Congress, who get them to do everything that they want, including spend trillions of dollars when they messed up their own banking situation through their own greed by gambling on commodities, which used to be illegal. And they said, oh, let us do it again. Let us do it again. I know that we screwed it up with the Depression, but let us do it again. Get rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, and we'll be good this time. Well, they weren't very good, were they? They wasted us. They wasted their money and our money and the money of the world. There's $500 trillion in Judeo-Bolshevik debt floating around the world right now. This Judeo-Bolshevik debt is called derivatives. They were bastardized loan products of speculations on petroleum and other commodities, on housing, etc. Everything stuck together in a kind of fascist glue ball that had no meaning whatsoever. They don't even know where your house note is anymore. It's been sold 15 or 20 times. And if they ever come to get your house, make sure you ask them to show you the note. Say, show, produce the note. I want to see the note. Because they don't have the note, probably. If they don't have the note, they can't take the house. In fact, this week, last week I guess it was, in one of the states, the people in these large banks who were prefabricating foreclosure documents, they were fraudulent, are now being arrested for felonies. And so they should. And so they should. They are so arrogant, thinking that they could feloniously make fake documents so they could get the house away from people. And they said, well, they owed us for the house. Everybody knows they owe us for the house because we loaned them the house. They bought the house through us, so we should be able to get the house back. Well, no, you shouldn't. If you sold the note to somebody else, what's going to prevent them, after you take the house away, from coming back to the people who own it and that you took it from and saying, you still owe us the money for the house because we own that note that your bank sold us. And so you still owe us money. You see, that's why the note has to be produced. Because if it's not produced, it means that this debt can go around and around and around and come back and bite you again and again and again. These banks know this. But they don't care about you. They don't care about America. They didn't care about the Russians that they murdered, 65 million of them. And they don't care about any Americans that they might murder. They've already murdered a lot of Americans in the military by sending them overseas to fight for Israel. They don't care about you. They don't care about your sons and daughters. Who do you think these people are? These are the people that ruined Russia, that killed the Christian population over there, 65 million of them, in their racism against Christianity and against the white Russians, and they murdered them. They took them out from their house night after night in Petrograd, put them into vans, ran them outside of town, and put a bullet in the back of their head and buried them where no one could ever find them. They committed one atrocity after another, and now they're back in the United States. Oh, and guess where they came from to go to Russia to run it? They came from New York City, the home of the Bolshevik Wall Street Mafia. And you feel comfortable with these people having this much power? You want them to come and kill you? You want them to kill you the way they did in Russia? What makes you think they won't kill you? Are you that confident that a people that would kill 65 million people in the Soviet Union and get kicked out and come here and they sit there in Brighton Beach speaking a Russian, and they have good relations with Goldman Sachs and the rest of the banks, and you don't think these people would kill you if they could? Well, they could. They could very easily kill you and your family. And there's various ways they could do it, like they did in Russia, but they'll probably do it by seeing that the government gets a nuclear war started so that these cities, which are killing fields, where everybody lives very close to each other, and they're just waiting for some country like China or Russia to loop a atomic bomb into the city, killing almost everybody and poisoning the rest of the people, making their lives into a misery of cancer and leukemia. And a country that could do that, if none others will, would be one that would definitely cooperate with the Jews of New York, and that would be Israel, which owns 200 to 400 nuclear weapons right now, and has already threatened the United States, and already has threatened Northern Europe, and every other country with its Samson syndrome. The Samson syndrome is basically that if they start to collapse or if they feel threatened, they have the right to throw bombs at every country that they want to. And Israel calls that the Samson syndrome. So they're already planning to kill you with their weapons. If they don't get what they want over there in Israel, they'll kill you. And why shouldn't they? They got by with it in Russia. Do you think they'd have any qualms about killing Christians in America when they killed the Christians of Russia, who were a lot more holy than the Christians in America? Come on now. Americans aren't all that holy. We lived out in the country, and yeah, we used to go to church and all that, but it's not like the Orthodox Russian church in the Soviet Union, where for over 1,000 years, almost 2,000 years, this church existed, and people built church after church with a gold leaf and went there to worship, and it was kind of like one of the more stately buildings in every town. And these people who had no money whatsoever, they loved that church. They loved that church. But you don't know anything about that. And you don't care about it. You allowed the Jews to kill those Christians over there. You allowed them to kill the Christians. And you're probably going to tell people, oh, I heard Frank Welter talking about the Jews killing Christians in Russia. He is such an anti-Semite. Well, first of all, the Jews of Russia and the Jews of the United States are not Semitic. They are Mongolians that entered the Soviet Union area and the area around Turkey from Mongolia. There's a highway from Mongolia to Turkey. And the Turks are Mongol Turks. And look it up in Google. Look up Mongo Turk. Look up Khazaria, Khasaria, in Google. The Jews of Khazaria. And you'll find that a King John in 640 A.D., decided that he was going to have all of his people convert to Judaism, which he did. Yes, he had them do that. They lived just north of the Black Sea and just south of Kiev. And they always had trouble with Russia, and they always were jealous of Russia's power, and Russia kept them out. They kept them in the Pale of Settlement because these were people from Mongolia that, they weren't the best behaved people in the world. They were pretty nasty people to deal with, evidently. So when they finally allowed the Jews to come into Russia, what'd they do? Within 20 years, they killed the Emperor Alexander II. killed him in his carriage, and then some of them got shipped to New York. And they were so radical that even America shipped a lot of them back. I mean, they were starting riots. They were causing all sorts of radicalism. Now, these are bad news people, man. Now, these are terrible people. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's very few people America will ship back, but the radical Jews of Russia, they make Islamic jihadists look like little children by comparison. I mean, the amount of subversion that was going on in New York and along the eastern seaboard from these Jewish Russians who were kicked out after they killed the emperor around 1890. Look it up. Look at the Haymarket riot. You know, all these things caused by these Jews, the rise of unions, which were part of their communism. You know, they were into communism in the 1850s and 60s. And the Americans certainly weren't into that. The Americans were kind of kissing up to the capitalists during most of their history. And here come the subversive Judeo-Bolsheviks with their communism, who got kicked out of Russia. So then they made banks here and started using their money to undermine the Russian ruble. And a Jew by the name of Jacob Schiff gave them $20 million to go to Russia in 1917 on steamships. 350 of them went over there, started the Soviet Union, and began killing people. Killed them for 20 years, and now they're back. And you don't think they'll kill you? Man, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You're trying to tell me that you're trying to cause trouble, Frank. Cause trouble? They killed 65 million people in the Soviet Union. They killed them. They took these Christians out of their homes, shot them in the back of the head, buried them where no one could find them again, and sometimes they killed their entire families, lined them up and shot them with machine guns. Then they took some of them and put them up into above the Arctic Circle and told them they were going to raise wheat and corn, which they couldn't do up there. And they died of terrible starvation. And they did this over and over and over again there. And you trust these people? You're out of your mind. Get another plan. Everything else in America is going to hell in a handbasket. The Mayfair Mall, close to Milwaukee, closed down early on Sunday afternoon, as New Year's weekend shoppers were told to leave the stores after witnesses reported seeing groups of unruly young people shouting and running in the Wauwatosa Shopping Center. There were also unsubstantiated reports of gunfire. Elsa Mercado was trying on clothes in a fitting room at Ann Taylor Loft when she heard loud noises. Her sister was at another store, and when Mercado tried to leave to check on her, she discovered she was locked in as some of the stores brought down their security gates. Someone was pounding on our door and saying, "Please let me in, there's gunfire." We unlocked the door and let him in. He was very frightened. He was very pale, said Mercado, who used her cell phone to call 911. Mercado said the 911 dispatcher asked her location. They wanted to know where I was. It seemed like they had gotten a lot of calls throughout the mall, said Mercado, who saw a group of rowdy young people she estimated to number around 100. It was happening throughout the entire mall. It was not isolated to one part of the mall. A Mayfair mall official said in an emailed statement late Sunday that the behavior of a group of young people was isolated and there were no injuries. What occurred this afternoon appears to be a group of youth intent on disrupting the shopping experience at Mayfair. The safety and security of our visitors are always our top priority. This behavior is isolated, and we will not condone it, Mayfair Senior General Manager Steve Smith said in his statement. To assist police earlier in identifying and apprehending suspects, we made the decision to close the mall shortly before our regular closing time. We anticipate there will be consequences as a result of what happened today. A Macy's cosmetic counter employee said she and her co-workers were told that guns were fired outside the mall, though she did not hear any shots. She said as they started to close their registers, another announcement came over the loudspeaker that there was an emergency outside the mall and the customers should stay inside Macy's. Well, it doesn't say so here, but I can tell you right now that it seems to me that these are probably street people from the Milwaukee area. You don't have civilized people shooting guns outside of a mall. These are some of the lowest class people that you can even imagine. These are the kind of people that when they're riffraff, when they move into your area and they start behavior like this close to you, you put your house on the market even though you lose money on it and you get the heck out. That's what you have here. That's exactly what you have. And Milwaukee is known as a city filled with people who are riffraff. It's a very poor city. It has a lot of minorities there. And these are the type of people that would shoot at each other outside in front of a mall. We've had it happen here in St. Louis, and it's that same group of people. So, you know, it's very ridiculous that they didn't mention this. You would think that it was, majority people were doing this, but these are minorities doing this. This is ridiculous. They're afraid to even say what it is. That's what's happened to our country. We've become a bunch of a nation of chickens, a nation of pink feathered chickens who can't even discuss the mistakes that we've made that have run our country into the ground and caused us to surround ourselves with the very people who would shoot guns outside of a mall and would be running riot inside of the mall, frightening all the people in there. We did this to ourselves. We allowed these people to enter into our society, and they continue to operate in the same way they did before we put them into our society. They bring their bad behavior with them, and we are terrorized by them. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And we continue to act in our guilt-ridden way, saying that, it's something that we don't like, but we really shouldn't say anything about it because it might offend some people. It said large groups of disorderly people in and outside the shopping center. Most were teenagers. They don't mention what racial or financial group they're from. I can assure you they're not the kids of bankers. They're not kids from the county areas. They go to nice schools. These are scumbags. These are riffraff. That's what they are. These are riffraff. And that poor mall, they're probably close to riffraff. And so they come into the mall and they mess with these people. We've had that in St. Louis. We have a mall downtown that's almost closed now. And the riffraff would come in there. There was a housing project just a few blocks from there. And these kids would come in there with their rag heads and their rag head hats and their prison garb. And they would terrorize the middle class people who drove in 5-10 miles from the county to go to this this mall, which was inside the old train station. It was an entertainment mall where you could find some interesting things there. They made all sorts of different kinds of fun food, like fudge. They'd show you how they made it and all that. It was kind of an entertaining thing to watch. They had they put on plays there. They had people that were putting on a lot of comedy shows. There were places that had designer clothes that were pretty trendy. And there was even a little train company there that sold toy trains to train collectors and so forth. And it was really nice until the riffraff started taking over, and these people would go into the restroom, and these kids would go in there, and they'd tell them, this is our mall. This is the project's mall, not yours. You get out of here. And they would push them, and people would be eating at one of these tables that were out in the hallways where they would go get a pizza and they'd carry it to the table. And these goons would hit them with their elbows on the way past, hurting them. Well, in no time, the mall began to collapse. Because, you know, people who have wheels, they can drive anywhere they want. They're not going to go to a mall where a bunch of thugs are allowed to run around and attack them and to insult them and to tell them that they're going to do terrible things to them. And that's exactly what's going on here at Mayfair Mall, if my suspicion is correct. And these thugs went in there and decided that they weren't middle class, so they would make the middle class suffer for this. That they would go in there and terrorize them, shoot some guns outside, so they would never come back again. Yeah, this is absolute animalistic behavior. These are savages. These are savages that we've allowed inside the gate to our castle, and we made a mistake in doing so. We made a mistake in doing so. These, you know, the deal was supposed to be this: we let you inside the castle, you behave yourself. You don't act like a bunch of thugs. You don't throw everything at everybody until we have to lock their doors, and you don't go outside and have riots where you're shooting guns in the parking lot, so that people won't come back again. That's not the deal. The bargain was, you come in, you behave yourself, and we will tolerate you, and we will welcome you to be with us. But when you come in and you act like that, we don't want you with us. Then it's time to part company. If that's the way you're going to act, you can just stay out. That's over. You know, you can be with us if you're on good behavior, but if you're on bad behavior, nobody has to tolerate people who have bad behavior. Nobody. That's why you have police. That's why you have society, is so that people with bad behavior are arrested and kept away from a building and told, you, because you're in this group, you don't get to come to this mall anymore because you screwed up and we don't trust you and you've destroyed our business here. And that's what needs to be done. They need to be told, hey, dude, hit the road and don't come back. We don't want you here. We allowed you to come in. You couldn't handle it. You terrorized our customers. They're going to other places, and by God, you're going somewhere else too. We don't want you here. A friend of mine works for a drugstore, and a man that he did business with, who absolutely hates him, started coming into the drugstore and driving through the drive-up window. And he works in the drug part of the store, the pharmacy, and starts yelling and calling him names from the window and going around and around to this window. And finally, the manager told the man, you don't ever get to come back to this drugstore again. If I see you on our property, I will call the police and have you arrested. And get this, the man's middle class, he's got property, and he's a lawyer. How do you figure it? I mean, you know, I figured that my friend just must have destroyed this guy's life, something terrible. I mean, he must have really done something. I don't know. But there's a deal where a middle-class person, I suppose even upper-class, because he invests in property, and he forced my friend to move out of his property because he wanted to change it to something else. And they had a big argument over it, and the guy went absolutely berserk and started harassing him at his work. That's pretty crazy. You know, I don't expect to see that in my lifetime very much. And when I first heard about it, I thought, wow, that's really off the wall. What did you do to this guy to make him hate you that much? I mean, you must have pulled the cord the right way, because you got to him, man. You touched him. We're out of time. The show's over. And it's been my privilege to work with you for this hour. And I want to invite you back again tomorrow for another hour of The World Today, where we will discuss all of these things that are going on our planet, in our country, in Europe, in Africa, in the Middle East, all the things that we have seen in our news. We will discuss it, and we'll try to discuss it in new ways. that will be not only entertaining but extremely informative. Thank you and have a very nice evening.